Welcome to Green and Red, scrappy politics for scrappy people, a regular podcast on radical, environmental and anti-capitalist politics, brought to you by Bob Bazanko and Scott Parkin.
Welcome to the Silky Smooth Sounds of the Green and Red podcast. Your co-host Scott Parkin in San Francisco, California today. And as always, I'm joined by
Bob Bazanko. Good to see you and our guest.
And there's a lot in the media right now about what's going on around Gaza and around what's happening on college campuses in the U.S. We are fortunate enough to be joined by our friend and frequent guest, I'm going to call you a frequent guest at this point, Candace Byrne, who is editor and senior staff reporter at Truthout, who was in Austin at the University of Texas protests yesterday. And so we just want to get a brief update from Candace about what's been going on and what happened there yesterday. And so maybe Candace, if you want to just kick off a little bit of like why people were out there and, you know, what happened, and we can just go in from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Palestine Solidarity Committee is a student organization, registered student organization at UT. We're having an event yesterday called the Popular University for Gaza. The event is absolutely in solidarity with other protests going on at campuses like Columbia, Yale, that have been experiencing this police retaliation for protests in solidarity with Gaza, and particularly demands for universities to divest from weapons manufacturers and other funding that is connected to Israel and connected to Israel's ongoing genocide in Gaza. So that's absolutely the aim. They had demands around divestments. So they had framed this protest as a walkout and an occupation of UT. And so a day before this happened on Tuesday, the dean of students sent the PSC organizers a letter saying that the university was not going to permit their protest event, and basically told them to cancel it, that the university is canceling it, and that if it continues, they could be subject to arrest. Obviously, PSC organizers said screw that and went ahead with the protest on Wednesday. So I arrived on campus a little into the afternoon after things were already sort of popping off. What organizers told me, this is what happened before I got there. The protest started at the Speedway area at Gregory Gym on campus. Organizers there were hoping to march to the South Lawn, the main lawn of UT, and police and Mountain Police basically corralled them and shut them down and gave dispersal orders. And so at that point, the students, they marched back to the Speedway area. And then at that point, police started arresting the main PSC organizers, about five or more, like five to 10. It's unclear exactly how many, since I didn't directly witness that. But so they organized some, they arrested some of the main protest organizers. And then police proceeded to blockade the students at Speedway from proceeding back to the main lawn. I got there at that point when students were being blockaded by police. And so students did like a shortcut. We went through Mezes Hall to jump out the other side of Mezes Hall onto the lawn. So that's how most students got there, is we just went around the police. Anyway, so we go through Mezes Hall back occupying the lawn. And so the protest essentially moves to the lawn at that point. And police come in. It's UT campus police, APD, and more than 100 DPS troopers. So those are Abbott's state shock troops, basically, come in, and they come into the lawn, and they basically try to set up a perimeter. And what happens over that afternoon is this struggle for the lawn, where students keep trying to retake it, and police keep coming in and advancing on the student protests, like doing these incursions where they would come and snatch and arrest, and then they would retreat, and then students would retake the lawn, and then police would come. And so that proceeded like that for maybe 3 to 4 hours. So this was like most of the afternoon that I witnessed, is just police coming in. And so really egregious, excessive violence, snatching students. I saw them pinning students to the ground, putting all of their weight, sometimes on petite bodied people, all of their weight, knocking people to the ground. I honestly, things were moving very fast yesterday, and I can't even tell you exactly how many arrests I witnessed. It felt really hectic. It felt like, plus there were snatch and grabs happening around me. Students told me they reported, several students reported to me that in smaller groups, police were snatching students. There were big public arrests that everybody were catching on camera when they would come in advance and then grab somebody and leave. But there was also lots of these little snatch and grabs that were happening all around us. And so there was like a definitely a heightened sense of fear during this time. We kept a few times throughout the afternoon, there would be a rumor that would circulate that like they're going to do mass arrests. They're going to do mass arrests. And so that I heard that several times circulating. So that's like kind of the heated atmosphere. There are pro-Israel protesters like sprinkled in the crowd who are heckling, who are in some cases cheering on these arrests. So this is absolutely maybe 1,000, maybe more than 1,000, definitely hundreds and hundreds of students out trying to retake the lawn. One of the major things I witnessed was we got pushed back at one point, and I got pushed up onto an elevated stone barrier on the lawn where there's like a statue. And anyways, I got a really good vantage point of the Fox 7 camera person who the police knocked down to the ground, and his camera went flying, and then they arrested him. So a lot of people are talking about that person. Because I was up on the elevated steps, I got a really direct vantage point of that happening. Yeah, so eventually the police did take the lawn. Eventually everybody was pushed off and people were just surrounding the lawn on the sidewalks. So this is like hundreds of people all just like around the lawn that the police have taken. And eventually I was on the west side, so I can't speak to what happened on the east side of the lawn, but eventually they used mounted horses and they ran the horses through the sidewalks to push us back even off the sidewalks. So they started like kettling us and pushing us back. So and that moment for me was scary when they brought the troopers on the mounted horses through the sidewalks, because I got pinned between the police who are blockading the lawn and the horses who are coming here. I was like, for a second, I was like, I don't know what's going to happen here. But yeah, and then they used like police bicycles, like ABT came and set up like a bicycle line on this side. So they started pushing us between Parlin Hall and the name escapes me right now, but between two halls. And so we got pinned in that area and they kept pushing us back toward the street, toward Guadalupe and 22nd is where we eventually got pushed out to. And yeah, we kept moving backward through the campus. And so they pushed us back enough and they had mounted horses and then they retreated. And then we got pushed back to the intersection of Guadalupe and 22nd. And then they left. Like when we were in the street, they like left at that point. So this is probably like 6 o'clock, like 6 o'clock at this point when we're in the intersection of the street outside of the campus. And then they leave. And maybe 200 people just go back to the lawn, and we just retook the lawn in the end. So it was really, I can't, it was all for naught. Like the students ended up taking the lawn back anyway. And what I can say about it is it's just so egregious on every level. Like for UT President Jay Hartzell, for Greg Abbott, who deployed the troops and has been cheering this on and calling for these students to be suspended. It's such open fascism that it boggles the mind. I don't see how this stands up to legal scrutiny. Like the folks at Columbia who were arrested at Columbia have filed a civil action. There's no way a civil action doesn't go down here and be successful, because it's a public institution. This is absolutely, it's free speech. It's the First Amendment on an absolutely public unit institution. But even if you weren't thinking about it from a First Amendment like vantage point, you can think about it from these kids pay a lot of money. You know what I mean? This is their tuition dollars. They have every right to be on those grounds. And they also have every right to walk out of class. They pay for it's their choice. You know what I mean? The university is trying to justify this by saying, oh, they intended to disrupt operations. And so that's why we had the right to shut it down. But if students want to walk out of the classes that they pay for, that is absolutely their choice. So there's absolutely no justification in any sense that I can't find any reasonable there's nothing. That all this is just an open declaration of fascists, of fascism and intent to shut down and chill speech on universities and create a hostile atmosphere of fear. That is what we're seeing unfold.
I've been in Austin on football Saturdays, and those are way more dangerous than anything I saw going on yesterday when obviously they're left alone. You mentioned legal action. Were there legal observers and kind of other people checking things out?
Yeah, I saw a ton of green-hatted legal observers all over the place. I was asking several, how many arrests have you seen at this point? Because I was trying to get a number. The official number that is being reported today is 34. But honestly, that seems low. Like I said, there were a lot of these snatch and grabs going on. I don't know. So that comes from the Tribune. I was really hesitant yesterday to report an arrest number. I kept asking legal observers around me. But yeah, like there, it seems like 34 is a low number, to be honest with you. But yeah, that's the official number that's out there so far. But yeah, definitely lots of legal observers and lots of journalists.
Yeah. And the journalists, were they being harassed? And I know the Fox reporter was. Were there others who were being harassed or
Yeah. threatened? So what I've read today is that two journalists were arrested, including the Fox 7 camera person. But yeah, so I'm not sure who the other journalist that got arrested was, but I know that I definitely thought there were a couple of moments where I was like, I don't know. I don't know what's about to happen to me. So.
Just also context on the numbers. It's actually, I have a question about this, but it's also the Travis County DA, Delia Garza, has actually been dropping charges, and she and their office is reporting 46 criminal cases have been presented to them, which they're dropping all of them, which okay. is an interesting dynamic. Travis County DA, I believe, is one of the progressive DAs that has been elected and that we've seen around in different cities around the country, who's directly challenging Abbott overreaching here by sending in DPS, the Department of Public Safety, state troopers, who also happen to be the guys who sat around in Uvalde 2 years ago.
Yeah. Okay. I hadn't seen that report. Like I said, I traveled immediately after I left campus. And yeah, like I said, when I read 34 on the Tribune and I was like, that seems really low. So 46 seems more right. But yeah.
As the day went on, did more people show up? Did they? Because I noticed in some of these places, I think it was a USC, 9 arrests were made and 1,000 more people showed up. Were there kind of people calling on social media for people to come out? Did you see a surge or anything like that?
I think I was part of the surge. Like I said, I wasn't there for what happened in the beginning of the day. I interviewed a graduate student who like laid out for me like the preceding moments before I arrived. But yeah, like it does seem like a lot of people were looking at social media and seeing what was going down and like showing up. That's certainly what I did. I was like, oh my goodness, it seems like there's like a situation. So yeah, it seems like a lot more people. Like I said, I wasn't there from the beginning, but yeah, that seems right.
And what happened today? Today is Thursday, April 25th. We'll probably have this episode out tonight, maybe tomorrow morning. Has there been a second day where people have been turning out again?
Yeah. So I obviously am not on campus again, but I know that organizers had planned a protest around Abbott's DEI, his anti-DEI order for campuses. So that had been pre-planned on campus, but on the campus. And I think people were showing up to that, but obviously the orientation of that has changed a bit in response to what happened yesterday. But what I am hearing is that there are reports that faculty are now striking over what happened yesterday. So yeah, there's very much still an active presence on campus today, even though I'm not there, but that's just what I'm hearing. Yeah.
I noticed on social media, profs at UT, I'm a prof at University of Houston, a lot of profs at UT who I would consider liberal and some are actually Zionist, who are really outraged by this. So it seems to have crossed over from just a Gaza versus Israel issue to what are you doing on our campuses?
Yeah.
There does seem to be a real outrage about this. But if you live in Texas, this is pretty much regular. Pretty much norm.
Yeah, I saw a variety of people out. I saw lots of Jews for a ceasefire shirts. So definitely Jewish pro-Palestine solidarity protesters, but also like Jewish pro-Israel protesters with Israeli flags. There was a group of women there who had shirts on that said free our hostages on there. And they were definitely part of the contingent with the Israeli flags. Those were small groups out and about. But yeah, and then obviously a lot of just Palestinian and lots of kufiyas, the whole gamut there. But yeah, it seems like there's a variety. I saw a variety of different kinds of stripes out.
This is also with the sort of backdrop where Abbott is Abbott is getting legislation passed where it's illegal to make anti-Semitic remarks. And then I think he's also passed some sort of ridiculous free speech law on campus. And I'm wondering if you could actually talk a little bit about the backdrop of that.
Yeah, that's an executive order that is targeting anti-Semitic activity on campus under the guise of free speech. But I think an important piece of context for particularly that executive order is that the Palestine Solidarity Committee, rather, that organization was specifically targeted in that executive order, which came out in the run-up to all of these protests. So they had were already being targeted by Abbott in the run-up to these protests. And yeah, Abbott specifically deploying DPS is a very specific target against this student group, which is a registered student group and has every right to be on campus and conduct protests. Yeah, I just think it's important to think about how obviously anti-Semitism is being weaponized in this way. Not to say that there isn't legitimate anti-Semitism that does happen from the especially like far right groups that I've tracked in Texas who
That's who's doing it, yeah.
yeah, that is real,
Yeah,
but
the Palestinians
they get the
looks
march
like a
legally. They still get the march.
right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. But these protesters who are obviously protesting the state of Israel, IDF, and the choices and the genocide that they are perpetuating, they are not protesting Jewishness. They're protesting the state of Israel and they're asking for a boycott of the state. And but that specific kind of action and that specific kind of organizing is what is being targeted by Abbott and the Republicans. And if this perpetuates and it shuts down, there was also protests at UTD and UT San Antonio as well going on. So if these protests at these Texas campus and also elsewhere, Columbia, Yale, these other protests that are going on across the country are shut down in this way. This threat, I think, is particularly more pronounced in the red states, right? In Texas, with this executive order. But that is absolutely chilling. And again, just this example of this rising fascism to be able to shut down what is absolutely constitutionally protected activity. That is an assault on fundamental basic rights that we should really all be afraid of here. And we should all be fighting on every front to combat things move forward here. But yeah, absolutely. We cannot let this kind of thing stand. My hope is that what I saw yesterday, like I said, it cannot stand up to legal scrutiny. I think any kind of a lawsuit here will absolutely win. I know that the group FIRE, I forget what it stands for. It's the
Yeah,
found
they're good. Yeah.
yeah, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Education have already put out statements about this. So it seems like FIRE might take up a legal challenge, perhaps on behalf of PSC. I don't actually know that, but it seems like that could be a possibility here. Yeah, I don't see how this holds up, but you never know in these times.
It's
So,
Texas still. FIRE does good work. I've contributed to them for some time now. They started as a conservative group, but they've been very active on this campus stuff for the last several months.
yeah.
This is a little bit off, but we talked to you last year, and I forget the guy's name, the guy who killed the protester in 2020 and was convicted, and they were talking about pardoning him, and then it died out. And I believe the pardon board is meeting right now, isn't it? And just wondered if you'd continue to follow that or if you know anything about that.
Yeah,
Because it's
right.
ironic, right, that they're trying to get this guy off the hook for killing somebody while they're attacking all these. It's not
Yeah.
ironic, Texas, but you get my point, yeah.
Yeah, Daniel Perry,
Daniel Perry.
that's so it's been a year since Abbott said he was going to pardon Perry, and it still hasn't happened. Like I said, I did some reporting around that where I got emails from the pardon board where they so it's like a situation where Abbott doesn't have unilateral authority and he has to request that the board does this. But I think with everything that came out about Perry and all of his emails and texts, the stuff that came out in the legal discovery has been so damaging that I really wouldn't doubt it if the pardon board doesn't just do a reversal on that, because it just looks really bad. And like I said, it has been a year since Abbott made that promise. And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that doesn't go through. But hey, it is Texas, and maybe he pushes that and continues to push on that. I don't know, but some really egregious text, racist, sexist, terrible out about Daniel Perry. So it does look really bad if he's pardoned, I think, at this point. But yeah.
another point on that executive order, because as a professor, theoretically apply to me. Actually, what Abbott did was accept the Zionist definition of anti-Semitism. I forget, it comes from the ADL or whoever, which basically means that you can't say anything about Israel. This is also an anti-BDS state. So it's not, it has nothing to do with being anti-Semitic or doing anything. It's simply, it's about thoughts and words, right? And from the river to the sea becomes a crime, or a free Palestine becomes criminalized. So it's pretty chilling. And I don't know. I've been trying to find out if my union is doing anything about this. And I would assume that people I would think would be working with them as well to get some resistance to this going.
Yeah, absolutely. It all does start with the definition that you use. So if you, in your definition, if you conflate anti-Semitism with opposition to the state, if you conflate the state as Jewish, as what it means to be Jewish,
Like Netanyahu and Israel does.
then anything that is opposed to the state of Israel is going to be defined as anti-Semitism. And that's absolutely not what organizers on these campuses are. There's a genocide happening. Israel is starting to move in. It looks like they're starting to do preparations for an invasion of Rafah. Now, things are really the situation is escalating, and it's unclear if a wider war is about to break out. It's more important than ever that students stand up, and that this situation in the Middle East is de-escalated before a wider regional war breaks out. And for these protests to be shut down in this way, it to suppress that pressure on both Democratic and Republican administrations to do everything they can to de-escalate what's happening in the Middle East, it actually lends itself to creating a that these politicians aren't going to take the action necessary to put the pressure on Israel to de-escalate this situation. And so by taking away our ability to put that pressure on, we're increasing the chances of a wider regional war breaking out. And so it cannot be more important that people are taking this action right now and showing up and occupying their campuses and speaking out in every possible way that we can so that World War III doesn't break out. So it's absolutely chilling.
I don't think there's much coincidence that this repression is really being ramped up as this invasion of Rafah becomes more imminent, because they want to quell this because there's going to be another blow up. Yeah, it's really incendiary, and Abbott and his people have never hesitated throwing gasoline on a fire, and clearly that's what they're doing now. It's pretty bad.
It also turns out that the administrators at Columbia, NYU, and Yale have no problem with it either.
Democrat, Republican, blue, red, doesn't matter. Yeah. Hochul, and you see it in California with Gavin Newsom, right? Gavin Newsom state, blue state, California, we're seeing this repression on campuses. So it's unlike anything I've seen in the 60s, which I've studied. I wasn't that old, but I mean, at Columbia in 1968, they waited a week before they went in. Here, it was just immediate, and it's really scary.
The 1968 comparison, I feel like it's so necessary for us to go and look at that through line for what has happened before. And I think that what you're pointing out there about waiting a while, it's the university sent this letter a day before this protest action went in, and they just went in. They sent in more than 100. The reporting that I've and what I saw seems like more than 100, but I don't know. It's got to be like I probably saw 200, maybe 300 there. And that's not counting the officers that were mounted on horses. So riot shields, there was less than lethal weapons. It looked like they had tasers and rubber bullet guns. Definitely saw the yellow handled rubber bullet guns out, batons. What I saw yesterday was pretty violent, but I didn't see rubber bullets deployed. But we could have easily gotten into a situation where rubber bullets could have been fired. And if this continues on, if this escalates across the country at other campuses, we could have a situation where there are deaths. Kent State comes to mind.
It's it's not inevitable, but there's certainly not a zero chance of that.
It's extremely scary.
One question I have is, in a lot of the video that I've seen, it's a lot of the state troopers, the state police, which are being very aggressive. But was it well coordinated between the Austin PD and the campus police? Were they all acting lockstep in unison with each other? Is it the mayor of Austin and the administrators at UT were all like in on this and coordinated with this? Or is it just Abbott pushing it?
And so when they were doing these incursions into the lawn, that seemed to be the campus police that kept doing that. And then then so they started doing that, and then DPS was like funneling into the lawn to reinforce them. And so it started out UT campus police, DPS streamed in and reinforced them. And then what I saw from APD is APD came and was setting up like the bicycle perimeters. That was like APD. In terms of the coordination, I did see there was a couple of guys like in suits with wires that I can't identify what law enforcement agency they were with, but there was definitely some suited guys who were giving orders, like who were talking on headsets. And so, yeah, I don't know if they were coordinating, those guys were coordinating everything or what. But yeah, it seems that's what I saw. And then they were using the mounted horses in deliberate ways to set up their perimeters, pushing the students all the way back. And then they used the mounted horses to clear the sidewalks and then to push us back between the halls, the campus buildings to the street. But yeah, and like I said, it's like this happened all day. Students kept protesting, and eventually, just in the evening, they just left. And then 100 students just retook the lawn again. So it's like, what is it all for?
To intimidate and scare people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know, Bob, any last
No,
questions?
I thanks so much. Obviously, we're all horrified at these images. Do you have any idea that if you'll go back this week if things continue or?
Yeah, so I'm actually off this week and was off yesterday when I went, but the situation is such an unprecedented situation
Yeah.
that I had to respond. I'm traveling and up in North Texas, doing some family stuff. But yeah, so I'm definitely going to keep an eye on the situation though.
As always, thanks. We're really so happy that you can come on and talk to us about all these things, especially in Texas, which means a lot to all of us, right? So
Yeah.
we're all Texans in some way or other. So
Yeah, for
yeah.
sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, thanks for having me on. I definitely love
Oh,
to explain,
anytime. Yeah.
yeah, as a direct witness, just to tell people what's going down. So yeah.
Folks, we've been talking with Candace Burnt of Truth Out about what happened in Austin this week at UT Austin. If you like what you're hearing, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, hit subscribe on YouTube, give us a rate and review on the audio platforms. And if you like us, go to hit subscribe on our website, greenandredpodcast.org, and make a donation or become a patron at patreon.com/greenandredpodcast. And we'll talk to you all again soon and definitely keep misbehaving. That's what we need right now. So talk to you soon.
Six in the morning, he's trying to work, but I can't get himself to bed.